Let's pray together. Father, as we look to your word this morning, we ask that you would fill us with an understanding that your word is written for each of us as individuals. And so we ask you to open the eyes of our hearts that we might be impacted by your word today. Amen. Did you know that there is a medical diagnosis called intermittent explosive disorder? It has nothing to do with your bowels. According to the Mayo Clinic, intermittent explosive disorder involves repeated, sudden episodes of impulsive, aggressive, violent behavior or angry verbal outbursts in which you react grossly out of proportion to the situation. Things like road rage, domestic abuse, throwing or breaking objects, or other temper tantrums may be signs of intermittent explosive disorder. Maybe that's your problem. It's a medical problem. According to the National Institutes of Health, more than 16 million Americans have intermittent explosive disorder. Which causes me to wonder, that's only about 5% of the population. And as near as I can tell, they must all be on Twitter and Facebook. Because it seems like the whole world is angry. Time magazine says this: Americans are angry. They are angry about school shootings and taxes and mistreatment and undeserved privilege and discrimination, and they're angry about the government. The overall presence of rage is clear. He goes on to conclude that angry people are poor communicators and even worse listeners. It seems as though our world has given us a plethora of things toward which to direct our anger. But as believers in the book, as people who believe that our Maker has spoken to us through the Bible, we know that the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. We, as people of the book, are called upon not to be angry. That's the core message of our text for this morning. The text is found in James chapter 1, verses 19 to 21. Know this, my beloved brothers. Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. This is the word of God. Anger is a normal human response to the unfairness which we see around us. But anger which is out of control does nothing to resolve the issues of life. Anger does not produce the righteousness of God. So James lays out for us four things to check when our anger begins to flare and before it gets out of hand and becomes sinful. For not all anger is sinful. The scripture does not say, be angry. The scripture does say, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. Give no opportunity to the devil. That is quite a challenge, to be angry but not to sin. Unfortunately, Paul doesn't lay out in that passage from Ephesians how we are to protect ourselves from allowing our anger to flow into sinful behavior. And so we come to James, who is our rescue by giving us four principles which will help us be angry and yet not sin. The first is to check our communication skills. I apologize for the error in the bulletin. That's my fault, not the secretary's. The original point was be honest about your communication skills, and so it says check your H. Check your communication skills. The problem is that when we are angry, we have a tendency, as Time magazine pointed out, to be very poor listeners. The scripture says, be quick to listen, be slow to speak. When you start feeling yourself getting angry, you should stop and ask, am I communicating appropriately? Have I listened to one another? Have I listened to the person who is making us angry? By the way, no one can actually make you angry. You allow yourself to get angry in response to something someone else has done. Check your communication skills. Do you listen well? Are you already formulating your response before the person is finished with what they've said? Do you interrupt others? Do you plan your response at the beginning of what they're saying without listening to the full thought? Do you make eye contact? It's a basic communication skill to look one another in the eye. Do you learn, or are you all about teaching? You know, you can actually go through life without grasping on every teaching moment. You know you're pretty smart. Most other people know you're pretty smart too, but they don't have to have you teach them something every time you talk to them. Do you really hear what others are saying? Think back on the last conversation you had with a good friend. You remember what you said? Do you remember what they said? So here's a suggestion. When you feel your blood pressure rising, you're getting frustrated and irritated, you know, that's Christianese for I'm getting angry. I'm not angry, I'm just frustrated. I'm not angry, I'm just irritated. I'm not angry, I'm just... Okay, when you have whatever euphemism you're using for anger, because anger is a five-letter, four-letter word, when you're getting angry, take a stop. Count to five. Is this anger going to do anything to produce the righteousness of God? Check your communication skills. Have you listened to the person who's arousing emotions within you? Have you looked not just at what they're saying, but what is behind what they're saying? I think it's interesting that our government is in the midst of a shutdown, essentially over the so-called dreamers, the children who were brought here illegally by their parents, and what do we do with them? And on the one hand, you have people to say, well, we shouldn't make these kids pay for their parents' illegal activities. That seems reasonable. On the other hand, we have a group of people who say, they're here illegally. We shouldn't reward these kids because their parents did something illegal. And each of us want to figure out, what do you do with them? But instead of entering into rational discourse, we stop listening to each other. Well, you just hate immigrants. Well, you just hate the law. And we make all these accusations when we don't really listen to one another. Congress has stopped listening to one another. They've stopped communicating in favor of just being angry. The church needs to give up being angry and communicate with one another, because the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. And it begins with, how do we communicate? I was having a discussion with two people I know. One is a very liberal individual. The other is very conservative. And every time they get together, they have the sparks fly. And I got tired of it, because I got together with these two individuals on a regular basis. And I finally said, I don't understand. At the end of the day, both of you want the very same thing. Why is it that you keep on fighting? I can't even stand being in the same room with you. They'd stop communicating. Every Republican is whatever. And every Democrat is the polar opposite. And as Americans, don't we all want the same thing? We want life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness for everyone. And as people of faith, what do we want? We want others to come into relationship with Jesus Christ. The anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. So when you start being filled with emotion and irritability or anger, the first thing you need to do is check your communication skills. Have you listened to the individuals who are on the receiving end of your anger? The second thing, you need to check your temper or be honest about your temper. The scripture says, be slow to speak and slow to anger. You know, a lot of times we think that our anger is just a little flash in the pan and it's over with. But anger can get you into trouble in many different ways. Even fake anger can. And some people are adept at fake anger. In his autobiography, Number One, Billy Martin told about hunting in Texas with Mickey Mantle. They went to Mickey's friend's ranch to hunt. So Mickey goes and asks the guy, can we hunt? And his friend says, yes, you can hunt, but I want you to shoot my mule. It's at the end of its life, and I can't stand to do it myself. I want you to shoot my mule. So Mickey comes out, and he pretends that the rancher has told him he can't hunt there. And he gets all pretend anger, and he lowers his sights down, and he shoots the mule. Whereupon Billy Martin says, I'll show him, and he shot two of his cows. And that's the thing about anger. It can suck other people into it. I was in one church that I ministered in, and there was an individual who, a board member, who at every board meeting would get angry. And it was getting out of hand. And so I met with him, and I said, you know, there's obviously something wrong, because every time we get together as a board, you get angry. And he said, it's not just me. And I said, okay. And he went back through 6 months. He said, I got angry at this board meeting, and he got angry also, and I got angry at that board meeting about this, and he got angry. And I said, yes, and what's the common denominator? It's that you are angry. You lose your temper, and other people get sucked into it, and they become angry. That's the problem with anger. Aristotle says this of anger. Anyone can become angry. That's easy. But to be angry with the right person and to the right degree and at the right time and for the right purpose and in the right way, that is not within everybody's power. It's not easy. A deacon in one of my previous churches was known for his anger. And one time we were planning an activity. We were going to have a kids program in the church, and the kid in the nearly 100-year history of the church, they had never had a kids program. And so I proposed that we have a kids program, and that would involve kids in the sanctuary, running in the sanctuary, and it just infuriated this gentleman. And he was so angry, and he came to me and he said, if you bring that up at the congregational meeting, I'm going to lose my temper. And I said, no, you're not. He said, yeah, I am. I'm going to lose my temper. And I said, no, you're not. You're going to use anger to manipulate the congregation. Under the guise of losing your temper, you're using anger to manipulate people. The anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. By the way, I told that guy, I said, you know what? You go ahead and lose your temper. And when you do, I'm going to stand and I'm going to tell the congregation about this conversation. Because your anger is not godly. And I said, I think you ought to take a different route. I think you ought to pull back your anger, give us some rational reasons why you don't think we ought to have a kids program, or shut up. He came back to me later and he said, in 65 years of life, no one has ever challenged me and said, stop using your anger to manipulate people. And we started a kids program. You know, if you struggle with anger, here's a suggestion. Read the book of Proverbs and highlight each time it speaks of anger. You'll find this, Proverbs 14:29. He who is slow to anger has great understanding, but he who is quick-tempered exalts folly. Proverbs 16:32. He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who captures a city. Proverbs 19:19. A man of great anger shall bear the penalty, for if you rescue him, you will only have to do it again. Proverbs 22:24. Do not associate with a man given to anger, or go with a hot-tempered man. Proverbs 29:11. A fool loses his temper, but a wise man holds it back. So when you feel your blood pressure rising, that irritability which could lead to anger becoming a part of your life, check your temper. Remember, the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. The third thing I think this text suggests is that when we have those emotions that lead towards anger, we need to check our purity. One of the reasons we become angry is that we have deluded ourselves concerning our own righteousness. When I'm driving, as near as I can tell, I'm the best driver on the road. And so are you when you're driving, right? And we get angry at somebody because they don't follow our rules of the road. Because we do it so much better. Because we would never do what they're doing. We think we're pretty good. The reality is, if we didn't think we were pretty good, most of us would change. Because most people have a desire to be good, to be thought of as good. And we've convinced ourselves that we are. So when we get angry, of course those who are on the receiving end of our anger are impure. They're stupid. Our anger is righteous anger. But James, immediately after reminding us that the anger of God, the anger of man, does not produce the anger of man. Take a deep breath, start that sentence over. James, immediately after reminding us that our anger, the anger of man, does not produce the righteousness of God, says this: put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness. What does that have to do with anger? Turns out it has a lot to do with anger. Because we won't deal with the anger in our lives if we won't deal with the wickedness in our lives. Many people rail against the sins of others, all the while hiding their own sins. Their righteous anger simply veils their own sins. Boiling with righteous anger, they convince themselves that their filthiness, their wickedness, is less wicked, less filthy than that of others. In a society with shifting standards of morality, we tend to pick and choose which types of activity warrant our anger. And we seldom choose our own sins as most deserving of anger. Lewis Smedes, in his book Mere Morality, says this: we are in a crisis of morals. The crisis is the loss of a shared understanding of what is right. Worse, it is a crisis of doubt as to whether there even is a moral right or wrong at all. Our society has muddied the waters and destroyed the idea of holiness. Moral outrage, ethical indignation, even the definition of purity has been lost, and in its place we are outraged because someone took too long to bring us our meal. This is supposed to be a fast food restaurant. We are outraged because our coffee wasn't hot enough or someone parked in our favorite space. The Greek word translated filthiness is actually a medical term. It referred to the wax buildup in the ear that causes a hearing loss. Moral filth and evil in our lives plugs up our hearing. It allows us to believe that we are safe in our anger rather than checking our anger against the standards of Scripture. If we want to deal with the anger in our own lives, we would do well to be honest about the purity of our lives. We often claim righteous anger when we are angry with another person's sin. We say we love the sinner and hate the sin, which all too often just looks like we hate the sinner and we're angry with them for acting the way that they do. Mark Lowry, who is a comedian and a Christian singer, he's the guy who wrote Mary, Did You Know? He said this, "How about we love the sinner and hate our own sin? I don't have time to hate your sin. There are too many of you. And hating my sin is a full-time job. How about you hate your sin, I'll hate my sin, and let's just love one another." There is a very fine line between hatred and anger. Be honest about your own purity. Check your purity before you become inflamed by a perceived lack of purity on the part of others. Finally, if we want to control our temper, we need to check our response to the Word of God. It's not enough to simply put off evil. Something good must take its place. So James says, "Receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls." Receive the word. Our ability to be angry and yet not sin is somewhat dependent upon our willingness to respond to the word of God. It is easy to allow our anger to control our lives, to be so full of anger that it defines us. You know people like that, if you aren't a person like that. Individuals who you just try to avoid because they're angry all the time. Anger has controlled their lives and defines them. And frankly, as believers, it is easy to convince ourselves that our anger is full of righteousness, to feel good in our anger. Because, well, they're being immoral. To selectively pick passages of Scripture which justify our anger. I knew a man once who chose to model his life after Matthew 21:12. Matthew 21:12 is probably not a verse that you have ever heard anyone pick as a life verse. Matthew 21:12, you're looking it up, I'm going to read it to you. It's a passage that this man used to justify his response to fellow believers. This is what it says. "Jesus entered the temple and drove out all who sold and bought in the temple. And he overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold pigeons." That was his life verse. Everything had to be nailed down at church. He came in angry and he threw stuff and he was justified because that's what Jesus did. And it felt good. You see, you're just like those money changers. You're just like, you know, and I'm just like Jesus. It can feel good to justify your anger, to take a righteous stand, to drive the sinners out of our presence. But if we spend our lives looking for those whom we can condemn, we will not spend our lives allowing the love of God within us to cover a multitude of sins. The anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Receive the word with meekness. Have it implanted in your life. For when the word is implanted in you, the love of God flows through you and your anger is replaced by love. Since I left early last Sunday, most of you know that I was going to Vegas, not exactly known as the center of holiness in the nation. And I had the opportunity to walk down the strip, and I walked down Fremont Street, and I fluctuated As I observed the people, and there were some incredible entertainers, and there were some perverted entertainers. And as you walk along, and some of it is fascinating, and I'm a people watcher, and I saw this one individual who really should have been clothed more. And I first got angry. It's like, oh, this irritates me. Why? And then I started to realize that what Jesus probably would have done, I couldn't do, because I couldn't make myself walk over and put a coat around her and give her enough money so that she didn't have to sell her body on the street. It's easy to be angry at sin. How about we love the sinner? We have the Word implanted in us. And in order for that to happen, we have to read it for ourselves rather than for others. To listen to sermons for ourselves rather than for others. You know, if you leave the service today thinking, boy, I wish that George had been here. He really needed to hear that sermon. Get him the tape. Actually, stop. Listen to it for you. Because unless a message is an evangelistic message to which you have already responded, you will not allow the Word of God to be implanted in your life if you're always thinking, I wish so-and-so had been here to hear this message. The Word is implanted when we focus on the way we live our lives in response to the Word, instead of focusing on the way others are not responding in the way we think they should. The Mayo Clinic and the National Institutes of Health have given an out to people who choose not to control their anger. Don't take the out. Intermittent explosive disorder. It has no place in the family of God. The anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Let us be known as people who have put away anger in favor of the love of God in producing the righteousness of God. Let us pray. Our gracious Father, I ask today that you would liberate us from the things which get under our skin as we begin to realize that we've done all kinds of things to get under your skin. And your response, rather than anger, is love. Cause your people, Lord Jesus, to love one another, to deal with our own sin, to let you deal with the sin in others, in order that we might bring honor and glory to the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.